Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with therapist, mentor, coach, and former New York City firefighter, Vin Infante. With over a decade of experience in mental health, Vin has worked with thousands of people. These days, he is helping people achieve mastery over their mindsets to live a more aligned and powerful life. Throughout his life, he suffered with crippling anxiety, panic attacks, and deep suicidal depression. When he finally realized what he was doing to himself by holding these beliefs, he began to create mental shifts. Through his decade of combined experience as a licensed psychotherapist, firefighter, business owner, and mindset coach, he's learned quite a bit that can help others. We get into all of this and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Before we get into your first and foremost, thanks for taking a minute out today. Before we get into your life, I want to know, we've gone through quite a time with COVID over the last couple of years with the lockdowns and everything that's gone on. So I want you to tell me how you survived that time period. And now that we're kind of coming out of it, not that COVID's done, but that things are opening up, how has that changed the way that you live your life and approach business?
Oh, man. COVID was like the greatest thing ever. you know, I was, during COVID, I was still a firefighter. So I was working full-time. We'd do 24 hours with 2 days off. So we'd do 24-hour tours, 2 days off, and then, you know, another 24 on and then 2 days off, right? Because they had to make sure nobody was getting sick on their tours. So I launched my coaching business part-time in 2019. And I started doing it. And I was trying to figure it out. Come 2020, I was a firefighter, and now I had, you know, these 2 days off at a clip, and I started really going very, very hard trying to build my coaching business. And it made things a lot easier because it made me really realize, like, there was no need to do anything in person anymore, right? Everything was shut down. As a firefighter, I would work 24-hour tours, but 24-hour tours would actually be about 27 to 28 hours because you would come in 2 hours early, you would leave about, you know, 2 hours late, and I would also work out at the firehouse gym because of the fact that all the gyms were closed. So I was putting in like 30-hour days at the firehouse, then coming home building my coaching business. And I think with all of that time, I was just so focused on being able to build that I didn't really worry, right? Nothing was open. I couldn't go out. I didn't see friends much. I mean, people would still come over, so I wasn't really too concerned with COVID, especially as somebody working in the field. I really was just like, ah, whatever. If I'm not getting in, I'll be fine elsewhere. And it really gave me this amazing groundwork to just sit here and focus. I think COVID was the best time to build a business. And it allowed a lot of people to get really creative in ways that they never would have thought of. You know, I had clients succeed in COVID because they get super creative, and even myself. And coming out of COVID, I was finally in this place where I was fully ready to launch into entrepreneurship. So it was super exciting for me. Now where I'm at, I honestly don't believe anything could stop anyone unless they can't get to a space of being creative enough, unless they focus on what's wrong instead of what they could do right. And I believe that a lot of people have had issues with just seeing that there is always an opportunity if you are willing to think differently, pay attention to different things, and focus on, honestly, what very few people focus on. And that would kind of be my biggest takeaways from COVID.
So we're going to kind of get back to the way we began everything here. And sure. I want to ask, if you're in front of a bunch of third graders at a career day, and one of the kids looks up at you and says, what do you do for a living? How would you answer them?
Sure. So I would tell people, I help high performers become the best version of themselves in a few months without 10 years of therapy.
I'm going to ask you what you wanted to do in the third grade. And I think most people that exist in the world, especially boys in the third grade, probably wanted to be a firefighter or a cop. So what did you want to be?
Yeah. Well, you're going to get a split answer. I wanted to be a firefighter and a psychotherapist.
Oh, so you're obviously happy with how everything turned out.
I can't complain.
Dream realized. It's like the forked tongue. You got both sides. The ends are playing together. You know, I would imagine with the way that you explain how, you know, survival and creativity during this time. This has to be a pretty ripe time for what you're doing. I mean, everybody hit this existential crossroad in their life. Everybody hit this moment of trying to dig within if they really wanted to. So you're probably seeing an uptick in business and people piquing their curiosity at getting better as a human.
I think that people are curious about how to become better, but I don't know if it has to do with COVID. I think COVID was a catalyst. I think COVID maybe sparked it a little, right? Because what COVID did was it forced people to spend a lot more time with themselves than they typically do. However, I do believe that we are coming to an age, or at least in our generation, or maybe your kids' generation, is that people are looking for authenticity. The world, at the boom of social media, the world presented in a very fake light, right? People are posting selfies with cars they rented, posting mansion parties of mansions they didn't own, posting how happy they are and how great their relationship is, and yet they hate their spouse and are cheating on them. And I think now we've become very wise to that, and people are just curious about how do we get back to a state of authenticity. And that state of authenticity doesn't just extend to social media, it extends to how do we get back to a state of authenticity within ourselves. So you see all these people that were posing and living the lifestyle that are now coming out and just being like, I have all these mental health issues and I'm depressed and I don't get it. Meanwhile, like every selfie, they're smiling, they're happy, they have millions of followers, and everybody's like, you're amazing. And so I think that there's a lot of curiosity around what I do and how people could become their better selves, because that's just kind of where the world's at right now. It's like people are demanding happiness and authenticity and genuine connection. And I think that's what's really making it more of a ripe time.
So between being a firefighter and what you're doing now, you obviously give a lot. You're really helping people. Talk to me a little bit about your childhood growing up, how these seeds began in you that sprouted into who you are now.
Sure. Love to. So I had that dual dream to be a therapist and a firefighter. I wanted to be a firefighter because firefighters are cool. They're cowboys. They run into fires. While everybody's running away, we're running in. There's nobody more badass than us. And I wanted to be a therapist because my dad's a therapist. And I always really admired my dad. My dad is one of the most intelligent men that you'll ever come across. He used to sit there and watch Jeopardy and blurt out virtually every answer. I'm still upset that he never went on the show. He would always win in Scrabble. He would always win in Pictionary. He would always win in anything that required knowledge. And he was absolutely fascinating to me. And so I wanted to be just like him. And so I said, I'm going to be a therapist and a firefighter. And as a younger kid, I was also a little bit awkward, or a lot of bit awkward. My time in my childhood was spent by getting bullied a lot. I was diagnosed in high school, as I started formally seeing a therapist, I was diagnosed with anxiety, depression, panic disorder. I would have frequent panic attacks where I would hyperventilate. I couldn't breathe. My chest hurt. I would miss school because of it. I would miss school due to physiological ailments from my anxiety because I was getting bullied so much. I didn't want to go. I suffered with a lot of self-esteem issues and depression. And in high school, I had very, very terrible suicidal thoughts of just not wanting to exist anymore, not wanting to be here, not being able to bear the weight of going in every day and getting thrown in trash cans, getting pushed into lockers, and honestly just being made to feel like I didn't matter. And so that was honestly most of my life. And even though home was okay, right, I had a few issues at home. Like my brother was a silly person growing up and did some things that caused a lot of stress in the house, but even my parents were still pretty level-headed and good when dealing with me. It's just my external world at school seemed to be so terrible. And so I couldn't really get out of my own way, and I was embracing this lifestyle of living as a victim. And in college, I decided I needed to reinvent myself. And so I decided to write down, instead of my name being Vincent, I wrote Vincenzo on all my college transcripts. And I tried to become someone else externally. But internally, I still had all these issues and all these problems. And it wasn't until I was about 23 that I really figured something out that switched from victim to victor and allowed me to change the whole trajectory of my life and come out of being a victim and placing blame on everyone and instead embracing radical self-acceptance and extreme ownership to take full control over my life and no longer get dragged through it, but instead create it in the way that I wanted to.
So what is it that motivates you? This is kind of a two-part question here.
Sure.
Kind of the theme for us, the two-parter. So first, What motivates you every day when you get up to do what you do? We all have things we want to do with our day. And subsequently, at the end of the day, how do you quantify a successful day for you?
So what motivates me every day is my mission. My mission is to impact 1 billion lives. And it doesn't really matter how, right? I just want to know that I'm helping people. I want to help people alleviate suffering. I want to make the world a little bit of a lighter place. I want to inspire people to be better. One of the biggest things that had stopped me from probably taking my own life when I was younger was that even though my therapist wasn't very helpful, I used to listen to motivational speakers. And I felt like they would actually just breathe life into me with their words. And that has inspired me to also become a speaker, to get on as many podcasts as I can or as many stages as I can and present to as many people as I can, just showing people with life and giving them opportunity and motivation. Like, nothing ever has to end except for your suffering. That shit has to end and we can do it. And that's a big part of my mission. That's a big part of my why. That's probably one of the biggest and most fulfilling things that get me up and at the start of my day. And at the end of the day, I would quantify it as successful if I did the best I could. I'm very critical of myself. And I've actually come to learn that all high achievers are. There's not one high achiever on this planet that I've come across who doesn't demand more from themselves than anybody else. However, I've also learned that as critical as I can be about myself, there also needs to be room for grace. So every day, I end my day by writing down a list of tasks for the next day, and then I review the list of tasks that I had for this day. And if I didn't finish a few things, I just look at it and I say, that's all right. Why didn't I finish it? So instead of beating myself up, I get curious. And I believe, in my mind, if I completed a bunch of tasks and I got a lot of things done, and I feel good about my performance that day, that was a successful day. And if I'm moving towards my overall goal of impacting 1 billion lives, right? Like, did I do something that helped somebody today? Then my day was good. So those would be my metrics.
If you could meet anybody alive on the planet right now, who would you like to meet and talk to?
Anybody alive. I would love to have a full-on conversation with Tony Robbins. I had received an intervention from him at one of his seminars. I was going for business mastery, and he called me out of the crowd, and he, like, helped me tear apart my business. But the amount of knowledge that that man has, I just want to keep pulling and learning from him. So I would love to just have a conversation about, you know, how does he help facilitate breakthroughs and transformation for people so well? Because I want to follow in those footsteps.
You know, for a lot of people out there, breakthroughs or transformations can come in the way of art, whether it's a good book or an album, something in the realm of art. Was there anything like that for you that really was something that broke through that you still revisit to this day?
In the realm of art or books or anything?
Yeah. Any of that, yeah. Whether it was a book or an album or visual art, anything that just really grabbed you from the art world.
Sure. I'm a big fan of art, honestly. I have a few tattoos. I have a big painting in my office in my home with two wolves. And this was actually one life-changing story that got wrapped into art. So we'll make this a two-pronger. And it really did change a piece, or at least the trajectory of my life for a short time, where if you've ever heard of the Cherokee story of two wolves, it's one of my favorite stories. And it talks about how there are two wolves that live inside all of us. I'm going to give everyone the abridged version. There are two wolves that live inside all of us. One wolf is empathy, love, happiness, loyalty, joy, peace. And the other one is anger, greed, jealousy, fear, resentment. And the wolf that wins is the one that you feed. And I love this story. I love Native American culture. And so I went to a tattoo artist one day, after being inspired by a canvas I have in my house of two wolves. I went to my tattoo artist and I asked him, I said, can you please turn the story into a form of art for me? Because I want to keep this on me forever to always remind myself of the battle that we always have going on within us. It's like, I need a reminder. And so I actually have a really cool tattoo on my arm of these two wolves always battling it out forever for what I can conceive as my soul or my mind.
Right on. So let me ask you this. and this is something that's based on wisdom and time on this planet. If you have a dream tonight, you run into your 20-year-old version of yourself, and you could impart, you know, advice to that version of you based on the wisdom that you've gained, the roads you've been down, what would you tell your young version?
You know, I think about this a lot. When I'm doing motivational speaking or keynote speaking, I am typically speaking to my younger self. And one of the things that I've always thought about, and probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to people, I'm going to give to myself, because I think this would have helped me, is knowing that nothing matters unless you want it to. You know, and I think that that's a piece of wisdom that is really hard to figure out at first, but once you get it, you just get it, because life has no intrinsic meaning, right? You might love art, I might not. And the reason that we could have that disagreement is because of the fact that you have given art meaning in your life and I have not. But I've given something else meaning in my life. And we could do that with pain, and we could do that with problems, and we could do that with any situation we want. So my biggest piece of advice for my younger self is that the only thing that matters is what you want. Most things don't matter.
Everyone has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your clients, but ultimately you're in control of your life. You live it. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I think that I'm a guy who was put on this planet to, well, one, impact a billion lives. And maybe that's a little grandiose of me, but I truly feel that. And two, I think that I'm just a guy who has figured out a few things about himself. I don't know if I have sage wisdom. I don't know if I'm, I shouldn't say I don't know. I'm definitely not better than anyone. I think I might know a thing or two more than some people. But I think I'm just an average guy that's like figured out, like, hey, this hurts, this doesn't. I've suffered a lot. I don't want you to. Please listen to maybe this story or this perspective, and it could help you out. And I see myself in multiple identities just like you described. I think I'm a son. I think I'm a boyfriend. I think I'm a father. I think that I am a gamer. I'm still a pretty big nerd. I think that I'm brave. And I think that I'm very loving. And I hope that people see that through my messaging and through the way that I try to inspire others to live in a state of fulfillment and alignment with their best self.
So let me ask you this. Let's end on a high note here. What's been one of the best client responses that you've ever gotten? Something that you always remember.
Oh, all right. This is my favorite guy. And I shouldn't say that. All my clients are my favorite, right? But this guy's story is truly inspiring to me, because it really is a testament. I want to preface it with, I set out to create my own coaching brand, to build a hybrid of therapy, mentoring, and coaching, because I stopped believing in traditional psychotherapy. And I was doing traditional psychotherapy for 10 years, realizing that there were so many problems, and it was like being stuck in a system, and it wasn't working the way that everybody promised. And maybe I wasn't good enough, or just the system wasn't good enough, whatever it was. But I believed, and I still do to this day, believe that you don't need medications to keep yourself mentally sound. I don't believe that you need to be in therapy for 10 years, and I don't believe you need to struggle with your issues your whole life. I don't believe you have to manage issues. I believe you can solve them. And so when I created this hybrid service, a lot of people started coming to me, and I had this one guy. I'm not going to name him, but we'll use a fake name. We'll just call him Jimmy. I had Jimmy come to me, and Jimmy was like, you know, I need a new therapist. Me and my therapist parted ways recently, which happens a lot, by the way. And he goes, all right, you know, do you happen to know one? I was like, well, I'm technically a therapist, but I don't do traditional therapy anymore, man. I was like, I don't believe in it. I was like, this is what I do. So if you want to work with me, we can. He's like, I mean, sure. Like, let's give it a shot. Why not? So Jimmy started working with me, and he put in a lot of work. I will say self-development, self-work is all that. It's what you put in is what you're going to get out. You could get rapid results in a few months and transform your life if you actually do the work. So every homework assignment I gave to Jimmy, he did it. Every time I would tell him, let's try something, he'd do it. If I said stand up and jump around on one leg, the man would trust me and jump around on one leg because he believed that what I said would help him. And he took everything I said very seriously. In 5 months, Jimmy had a whole new perspective on life. After a year, Jimmy was able to come off his anxiety and depression meds. He no longer needed them, and he still doesn't. Jimmy hasn't had a panic attack in about 6 months. Jimmy is able to self-regulate his emotions. Jimmy's able to empower himself. Jimmy's able to step into better states of his mindset and his emotional well-being, and has learned better ways to emotionally regulate. And Jimmy's previous history is that he's been in therapy for 10 years and was unable to solve his anxiety, his depression, and his panic attacks. And after 5 months, we fixed his perspective. And after a year, he achieved pretty much life-changing transformation and came off his medication. And that will forever probably be my favorite story, because it's not about me. The reason that story is my favorite is because I'm so fucking proud of him. And I'm sorry if I curse. I hope I can. But if not...
No, I'm a professional. Yeah, no, I love it. I'm a professional at it, so it's all good. Before we leave here, I want to get to the good business of your life. Tell everybody out there where they can find out more about you, your services, anything related to your world. Where do they go?
So you guys can find me. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm on TikTok as Vin.Infante. I'm on Instagram as Vin.Infante. I'm on Twitter. I'm Vin.Infante. And you can find me on LinkedIn as Vin.Infante. And then you could go to my website, which has everything. It has all of my services, my one-to-one coaching, my mastermind community, my speaking, whatever you want. And there's a bunch of free resources on there, too. You should go check that out. So my website is www.vincentinfante, just my name, .life. And I use .life because, you know, like life coaching.
I like it. Vic, hey, thank you for opening up. Thank you for taking a minute out. Good luck with everything. Have a great 2023.
Thank you, my friend. You too.
Thanks for tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, and music from around the globe. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.